today on The Travel Guys.
Well, you're on the plane and a row of seats just passes you by. What do you do? Well, we have the answer on The Travel News.
Speaking of The Travel News, the $100 carry-on fee is coming to an airport near you.
Well, travel scams are all over the internet, and we're going to tell you how to avoid the latest troublesome email. It's an appeal to your wallet.
Several weeks ago, we told the ladies in our audience how they could travel safely. By special request, we'll repeat that great interview, Women Traveling Safely, at the bottom of the hour.
And at 2:45, we're going to take you up the Oregon coast to Lincoln City to help you discover an exciting new getaway destination.
All that today with Tom and Mark on The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I'm a traveling man,
king of the road.
Hit the road, Jack.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Well, what do you know? It's another fabulous Sunday afternoon, a little after 2 o'clock here at KFBK, and time for another edition of the Travel and Entertainment. Guys, thank you for joining us.
How about that? Welcome to everybody.
That's the voice of Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacation. I'm Tom Romano, and proud to be part of the program. Hope you're having yourself a marvelous Sunday. Stay right where you are. If you're working in the backyard, turn the radio up just a little bit so that it'll, you know, blare out over those weed eaters next door. And Mark's got some great stuff to bring us up to speed on. We're going to make you a smarter traveler before the hour is out.
Absolutely.
Well, you ready to do some news?
I am. I think I've got some good stories, but I guess the audience will be the judge.
All right. With that being said, Brandon, fire up the band. Let's bring it on. Mark Hoffman with the travel news.
All right. Last week we talked on the Travel Guys in the Travel News about flight attendants were really in the news. This week, it's seats on airplanes that are really in the news. The first story involves a new sliding airplane seat. Have you seen this, Tom?
Only in this picture that's on TravelGuysRadio.com.
The sliding seat is a new seat that a company is making where the aisle seat on the airplane actually slides over the middle seat to increase the size of the aisle. Now, airlines are thinking that, gee, that would make boarding go a lot faster, which would mean planes would be on the ground less time, which would mean when planes are flying, they're making money. The aisle seat slides up and over a full foot over the middle seat. But the thing I have to ask you about this, now think about this, Tom. The aisle seat.
I'm trying to visualize this.
The aisle seat is kind of on top of the middle seat.
Okay? Got it. Okay, so the aisle's wider.
The aisle's much wider. But the only person who can get on the plane and sit down is the person who has the window seat.
That's correct.
Because the person in the middle seat can't sit down. Because
no, it's covered
seat's
by
over,
the aisle
and the person
seat.
On the aisle seat can't sit down because their seat's not in position yet. So
I think this
is very interesting, but it's probably as crazy of an idea as charging people to go to the bathroom on the airplane.
Now, when you get the animated mock-up of how this is going to work, we definitely want to post that. That's
also a couple of other things. The aisle seat has very minimum padding and no recline. So I'm thinking that probably while some airlines may think this is a good idea, I'm guessing people who actually fly on airplanes may not. And I have another story about seats on an airplane.
Okay.
Yeah, as Paul Harvey would say, page 3. Excuse me, flight attendant, my seat is moving around the airplane. A row of seats on an American Airlines plane came loose and slid around during a flight this past week. Did you hear about that one?
Well, yes, I did. You know, I think a lot of people don't realize that those seats can come in and out of the plane very easily. They're not like bolted down to never go anywhere.
They're on runners. That's how the airlines are able to change the leg room and change the number of seats in the forward cabin and stuff like that. So a row of seats came loose after the plane departed from Boston. It made an emergency landing at JFK shortly after takeoff. The passengers who were in the seats said it was kind of similar, likened it to being on a carnival ride. The passengers in the tumbling seats were reseated, and no one was injured. Apparently, there must have been some empty seats on the airplane. One of the things, though, that kind of bothers folks is that this was American Airlines.
Oh,
That's
the one you were talking about last week that you might want to think twice about booking a flight
where the pilots are kind of doing the slow down maintenance write-up thing. And so, indeed, that is it's American Airlines that had this issue, which immediately lends people to say, gee, now the seats are moving around the cabin. So is that is the whole airline unstable, or is it just the seats on the planes? Would you know, there are a growing number of reasons to be concerned about flying on American Airlines. And in a related story in the travel news, the pilots union has asked American Airlines not to American Airlines pilots not to delay flights. The head of the pilots union has asked the pilots to stop trying to delay flights if that's what they're actually doing. According to Associated Press, the Allied Pilots Association acting president Keith Wilson says the union has asked American pilots not to call out sick, file frivolous maintenance reports, or make time-consuming detours. I didn't hear about that. Apparently, well, in the sky, the pilots are given an option. You know, you can fly a little straighter or fly this way. They fly choose to take the long way, so the plane's a little bit.
I know we probably shouldn't, but it's going to be really hard when Henry, our pilot, shows up on the 21st to not bring some of this stuff up.
Yeah, we've got to ask him about that. That would be a good idea. Anyways, American Airlines is in the news every week. If you fly American, you're going to want to keep an eye on it. In a little bit lighter travel news, sounds like a crock to me. It was a terrifying day at work for one baggage handler in Melbourne. The Metro newspaper reports that a crocodile escaped from its cage in the cargo hold during a flight from Brisbane to Melbourne. The loose reptile was discovered by an unlucky baggage handler unloading luggage. The crocodile was captured and returned to his cage without injuries.
Is that your alligator luggage, or is that the real thing?
Yeah, this sort of takes that movie, what was it, Planes
Snakes on a Plane?
Yeah, Snakes on a Plane to a new level, right?
You got seats moving around in the cabin and alligators underneath. It sounds like a Disney ride to me.
Really?
Here's another interesting story. Here's a reason for airlines not to offer food and drinks in flight. Tom, remember years ago, the lady went to McDonald's and she got the hot coffee. I think it was in New Mexico somewhere, and it spilled on her, and she sued McDonald's,
yeah,
and then she won.
Yes,
CNN reports that a lady is suing Southwest Airlines and a flight attendant for serving her tea that was too hot on a flight last year. She alleges that the flight attendant brought her a cup of very hot water in a paper cup, which was inside of a clear plastic cup, and that the tea bag and condiment packets were served in between the two cups. Get that picture? The plastic on the outside,
yes,
the Eiger cup on the inside. Upon extricating the tea bag from the two cups, Keller claims she spilled the hot water on her groin area and suffered second-degree burns and permanent scarring. According to CNN, she's seeking $300,000 for property damages, medical bills, injuries, and pain and suffering, plus $500,000 in punitive damages.
Ouch.
Yeah. you know,
we won't begin to discuss what the property damage
could
item might have been.
Possibly have been, but I'm just going to ask you, would you pour boiling water on your crotch for $800,000?
You know, I think I draw the line somewhere.
Kind of, sort of.
You know, I draw the line on having anything that would be really hot on an airplane, because the possibility of turbulence and spillage, I'm surprised that they even allow anything.
Thank you very much. I would tend to agree with that. Here is a really interesting thing. If you go to travelguysradio.com, you can see more about this. The Secret Life of Miami International Airport. If you've ever wondered what's really going on behind the scenes at a large airport, or what those thousands of airport workers are thinking as they rush around, the Travel Channel has a new reality series, Airport 24/7 Miami, that gives you a peek behind the airport curtain when it premiered this last week.
Mm-hmm.
These folks have spoken to the show's cast, to TSA agents, airport police, terminal operations agents, and the people who are in the program about the best airport gossip and tips they've been dying to share. We don't have time to go into all of this now, but if you go to travelguysradio.com and click on the Secret Life of Miami International Airport, you'll see a question and answer thing there that is absolutely fascinating.
Very cool.
I promise you. The $100 carry-on fee is here. Spirit Airlines, which does not serve Sacramento, fortunately, I guess, for us so far, we'll begin charging passengers $100 for carry-on bags unless they tell the airline they're bringing it before they come to the airport. Indeed, members of Spirit's $9 fare club will be charged $25 for a carry-on bag online.
Okay.
Other passengers who pay the fee online will be charged $35, $40 over the phone, $50 at the airport ticket counter, and if you wait until you get to the gate to declare you have to put something up above, $100.
Again, saying that we're going to punish you for not planning ahead.
Absolutely. So Sacramento travelers won't have an opportunity to experience that yet, but you might have the chance to get the Spirit somewhere along the way. Ouch. Oh, joy.
Yes.
the Supreme Court has rejected an appeal on airport scanners. This is interesting. Last week, the Supreme Court refused to consider a Michigan blogger's challenge of the full use of full body scanners and thorough pat-downs at airport checkpoints. Without comment, the court declined to take up the case. How interesting. Mm-hmm. So all these folks have been screaming and yelling. The Supreme Court has now decided that you don't have anything to scream and yell about, and they're the law of the land, so that will be where it goes.
Don't talk to us about it.
All right.
We don't care.
Two more quick travel stories here. Dolly Parton is dropping out of a new Nashville theme park. It seems as though Dolly was about to partner with Gaylord Entertainment, who owns a bunch of these big fancy hotels, including the one that used to be at Opryland. Before Opryland went away, and Dolly was going to develop a new theme park there, but she has decided not to get in bed with Gaylord Entertainment. Is this a good time to editorialize? Dolly Parton is a wonderful lady who has done a lot for the economy of Tennessee, and she could pick a way better business partner than Gaylord Entertainment.
Well, there you go, and that's one man's opinion.
Just one man's opinion. All right, one more quickly.
Have you been to Dollywood, by the way?
I have, and do you know that Dolly's home is Sevierville, I want to say? Gosh, Tennessee. It's right next to Pigeon Forge, and Dolly has done a lot in that community to she kept a theme park going there for many years, which meant a lot of jobs, and she is very much revered in that part of the country. So if she decides that she doesn't want to work with these folks, then I would tell you that she's the lady who knows the difference between reality and not so much.
There you go.
All right. And finally, in the travel news, Amtrak appears to have a drug problem. A new report blasts Amtrak, the nation's largest passenger rail carrier, for dangerously overlooking drug and alcohol use by its employees. The report was released last week, says drug and alcohol use has steadily risen since 2006. Amtrak's employees regularly fail drug and alcohol tests at a staggering 51% higher rate than the rail industry average. Officials are required to physically observe each employee for signs of symptoms and drug alcohol use once every 3 months. How do you physically observe somebody, I guess? How would you do that?
If they
were on a moving train, how would you? It's just a question. The report suggested a number of ways Amtrak could prevent employees from showing up to work drunk and on illegal drugs. The recommendations include increasing the frequency of drug and alcohol testing.
Good start.
Reviewing results and comparing them to industry averages. Demonstrating that drug and alcohol control is a priority for Amtrak senior management and improving the physical observation of employees. This concerns me just a bit, Thomas.
I'm not as drunk as the guy that's driving the bus.
Exactly. And that is a long edition of the travel news.
But it was all great stuff.
If we must say so ourselves.
I thoroughly enjoyed
it. Seats moving around on airplanes, some of them attached and some of them not. So.
Alligators instead of snakes.
All right. When we come back, Thomas, after this quick timeout, we are going to talk to folks about a scam that's been going around on the internet for a little while. And I think this is going to be of interest to people when we come back.
Next, right here on The Travel Guys on KFBK. Welcome again, everyone. You are listening to The Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacation, across the way looking as wonderful as ever in another Route 66 shirt. Tom Romano here, and I've got my baseball cap on because, you know, it's that day that I don't do my hair.
Because it is baseball season, baby.
You got it.
I know all of you football people are out there watching football games, but us purists, it's the time when baseball fans are in their element. The tournament has started. The October madness is going on, and you know, it's a good thing.
Go Gigantes.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. In our mailbag, Thomas, our mailbag is actually overflowing, so we need to do a segment next week and answer the question. So if you've sent a question to the mailbag in the last couple of weeks, we will take a time and answer them all next week. I wanted to answer just this one. Dear Mark, just a note to say thank you for the opportunity to join in on your radio show and win. I want to let you know my husband and I used the gasoline gift card I won to take a road trip along Highway 49 last weekend. It was a lovely day for a drive.
Awesome.
And ended with a picnic in Columbia State Park. We enjoy your show. It's entertaining and filled with valuable information, Sherry. So thank you, Sherry.
Well, that's awesome. Right. There you go. Somebody who actually did an off-the-beaten-path local road trip with the gas that they won on the travel guide.
Is that not the way it's all supposed to work?
That is absolutely perfect.
Thomas, I want to talk to you here about a travel scam that's been going on for a while now on the internet. And this involves people. I think you mentioned before we went on the air that you'd had this happen to you. It's where people who are traveling, supposedly a friend of yours is traveling overseas,
sure,
sends you an email, says, you know, I've been robbed, all my stuff has been taken, I've lost my wallet, my phone, my whatever, I'm trying to make arrangements, I think I've got arrangements to get home, but I need $1,000, and I'm reaching out to all my friends to try to see who can, and you read it, and you think,
wow, Bill, what happened? It's legitimately from their email. It's not like it's a made up.
You've gotten
email.
One of these.
I have. I had a friend who supposedly had lost his wallet in a taxi cab in London,
and according to the email,
and was looking for $500 to be wired to him, so that he could get home. Fortunately, I happened to have his phone number and sent a text, and shortly thereafter, he emailed all of his friends saying that his email had been stolen.
And so, the word to the wise to folks who are out there listening is: if you get an email from a acquaintance of yours, could be a relative, could be somebody you know very well.
Mm-hmm.
And these emails are pretty well worded. They don't have the grammatical errors and things like that that some of the spam emails have that make them fairly obvious. These sound pretty believable. The first time I got one was from a lady who travels with my company. And I thought to myself, wow, you know, this sounds pretty legitimate. This lady sounds like she's in trouble.
Sure.
I did the same thing you did. I went to her telephone, looked up her telephone number and called her, and she answered the phone. And so may I suggest to
verify the source
to our listeners that if you see one of these emails pop up in your inbox, and you've probably gotten one or two of them already, and maybe you felt like you're a bad person because you didn't respond. Well, first of all, the first thing you want to do is contact the person who's on there, because it's very likely the person is not traveling overseas, and you will do them a favor by alerting them to the fact that somebody has tapped into their email account and is sending these things out.
You know what this has done? This is basically, these scammers have actually put someone who might be stranded somewhere in jeopardy of never being able to get help from a friend.
That's a valid point. And Tom, the other most recent email scam that's been going on, this one's been out now for 5 or 6 months. It was with U.S. Airways heavily to start with. Now they've shifted over to American Airlines. You will get a confirmation in your email box.
I've gotten those.
There you go. We need you to reconfirm your details. And of course, as soon as you click on it, on the link, you've destroyed your computer, or you've done something that's...
I'm so glad I heard about that before I got one of those. And clearly, you look at it and you think to yourself, well, gee, I don't remember booking a flight there. Maybe somebody booked one. Maybe I have a free flight.
United. U.S. Airways is a Star Alliance carrier. So I thought, well, first time I saw one, I thought, well, maybe United changed a flight or something, and now I'm on a U.S. Airways flight. But my clue was when I went to my spam mail, there were 9 or 10 of those that arrived within a 15-minute period.
There you go.
So that would be your first clue if you've got more than one of them. And your second clue is, unless it's something you're expecting, if you go to the airline website and log in, and you can see your travel, or you can call the airline. It really is a pretty major scam. And the other thing is that if you get something advertising something free from the world of travel, all you have to do is click here. I've been in the travel business for over 30 years. There's nothing that's really truly free. There are some things that are discount or a good deal on occasion, but people don't go around giving away valuable things in the world of travel unless you have to do something to get them.
Like on the travel show, you might actually have to call up and answer a question.
So that's a little bit of an update of some things that are going around on the internet that you need to be careful of to make you not only a smarter traveler, but a smarter stay-at-home person for the people in your life that travel. In the second half of the program, Thomas, we're taking folks up to the Oregon coast, to Lincoln City, a great place to visit on the Oregon coast, and we're going to revisit something we did about a month ago here on the Travel Guys. We had a segment about women and how they could stay safe when they travel. And we don't repeat a lot of things here on the Travel Guys, but we've had several requests in our mailbox for this. And so by special request today, in the second half of the program, you will get an opportunity to hear that segment all over again.
And that's coming up in 6 minutes right here on the Travel Guys on KFBK. Don't go away.
Welcome back to the Travel Guys. Tom, it's time for us to replay something that we ran a few weeks ago about women and safety when they're traveling.
Well, I'll tell you, this is a really great program. In fact, you don't even need to get your pen because we'll post this at TravelGuysRadio.com.
Absolutely. An interview on safety in travel for the ladies right here on the Travel Guys.
Let me begin by asking Anne before she goes through the list.
Okay.
Anne, how did you comprise this list? Where did these answers come from?
Well, the writer of the story, Caroline Morris, she had done some interviews with different female travel experts out there. Some that have written for us in the past, like Evelyn Hannon of Journey Woman. It's a very popular website with all kinds of tips and suggestions for women travelers.
All right. Well,
outstanding.
That being qualified.
All right. Well, let's go to the list. The first one says, first things to avoid doing when you're traveling alone, ladies, arriving in a new location after dark.
Right. And this is a great tip all around because, you know, it might be cheaper to, get a flight at a later in the day or something like that, but really arrive at a new destination during the day. A, there's going to be more people that are around to help you. You know, if something goes wrong, there'll be more open businesses, probably more people around your hotel that you can ask for help as well. And also, destinations definitely look scarier at night, and you'll feel more comfortable. You'll be able to get your bearings, get yourself organized and feel comfortable, and that's the only really the best way to start off your trip.
I also noticed that you pointed out when you arrive in the daytime, if you need to change accommodations or flip some stuff around, you're more likely to be able to do that and to get some help as well.
Exactly. And sort of like what I was saying, there'll be more people around to help you. Businesses will be open. If you arrive at night, you might be out of luck and you might be, sitting in a random hotel lobby waiting for, business to start coming back online.
Not to mention the fact that, of course, flight delays are less common the earlier in the day that you travel. The next one on the list is dressing inappropriately. Tell me about that one.
Yeah, this is one that people sometimes take for granted. You know, it's pretty obvious, but always research your destination in advance and find out what the proper dress is. You don't want to be standing out, and you also want to make sure that you're following any conventions that they have. So when in doubt, you can always err on the side of being more conservative, especially if you're traveling alone, but it always pays to research that in advance.
You mentioned it's important to have a backup plan.
Right. Things always go wrong when you travel. And this is a tip from Evelyn Hannon from Journey Woman. And she suggests, a fun tip that I never thought of is to get put money inside empty pill bottles that you've saved from previous prescriptions. Put some pills in there so it when someone shakes it, it sounds like it's got medicine in it and they'll ignore it and hopefully not try to steal it because they won't know that there's necessarily money in there. And that could be something, you can just tuck away in your backpack or somewhere else. But she also recommends tips like scanning a copy of your passport and other important documents. And this is something that everybody should do, whether you're male or female. It's a really great idea. I often just scan them and email them to myself so that no matter where I am, as long as I can get online, I can pull those documents. And if I ever, my passport is stolen or it gets lost, it's much easier to get a replacement when you're in a foreign country if you have the copies with you.
We're talking with Anne Banas. Anne is the executive director at smartertravel.com, and we're talking about things women can do when they're traveling to keep themselves safe, and a wonderful article that was published on their website. You talk a little bit about being careful about what kind of transportation you get into, being aware of unlicensed cab and taxi drivers.
Right. The best thing for women to do when you need a cab is to ask at your hotel desk. That way they're going to order some cab company for you that is reputable. It might be cheaper, you think, to go with an unlicensed cab company or whatnot, but that's really the best way. And also, when you are leaving the cab, make sure you ask for a card so that you can call that same driver on your return trip.
Ah, that's an excellent idea. Something that I use myself is if you have a good taxi driver takes you someplace, you're only going to be there a short time. Ask the driver if he wants to take you back. Oftentimes, they will respond to the opportunity to get another fare, or they will send a trusted friend of theirs to pick you up or something like that.
Exactly.
You talk a little bit about the importance of sharing your itinerary with folks and telling other people where you're staying.
quite often, I would imagine, you know, people will ask you, oh, where are you going? And want to know, you know, maybe they're traveling as well. And you feel safe saying things. But, Ann, what's your recommendation?
Don't. Don't tell people where you're going to be staying because, you know, they might identify you as a solo traveler, and that just spells trouble. You know, you could always say another hotel. You know, it doesn't hurt if you feel pressured to give an answer. But really, you don't ever feel like you have to give up personal information. And also, when you are writing things down, be cognizant that someone might be looking over your shoulder so that they're not getting that information other ways. Also, make sure that when you're getting your hotel key and you're checking at the hotel desk, ask them to write it down on paper. Tell them not to say it out loud because someone can overhear your room number.
And I was just about to jump in there and say, boy, you and I should go on the road together. Well, and many hotels, reputable hotels now, do not say your room number out loud. They will open the key packet and point to the room number and say, here's your room number, go to this bank of hotels and go to this floor. And it's common, accepted professional practice in the hotel industry not to say a person's hotel room out loud. So, well, point well taken. And of course, we're talking about telling people where we're staying, we're not talking about telling your friends and family where you're going, of course, so people have your itinerary.
But you might not want to tell them either.
But we're talking about when you're out on the road and you're sitting down to dinner with some folks that you maybe just met 10 minutes ago. Because another thing on your list here is that women sometimes think that they're safe when they're in the company of other women.
Right. And that is something that is, you know, something you really have to be careful of because you really can't trust everybody. And that's not to say that you should be completely fearful and distrustful. You know, part of traveling is meeting new people. But don't just assume because it's a woman that, you know, she's not a scam artist or has other plans for you. So always be skeptical and be wise and make good decisions.
Now, here's one on your list of things for women to avoid when they're traveling that seems to make very logical sense to me. I share this with my travelers on a regular basis about wearing flashy jewelry. Why in the heck, when you're traveling, would you be wearing a whole lot of expensive jewelry? That seems like just about the stupidest thing that you could possibly do.
And sure, and I'll just add this as well, that if you pack jewelry in your checked luggage and your luggage is lost, you can't get reimbursed for that. So I always say it's never a good idea in any scenario to travel with expensive items like jewelry. But in this scenario, if you're wearing jewelry, even if it's costume jewelry, to be honest, people might not realize that it's costume. They might identify you as a wealthy tourist, and that could peg you as basically target you as somebody who you know, could get robbed.
That's a really important point. Yeah. Tom, you wouldn't think about that because if you left your expensive jewelry at home, you said, well, I'll bring this costume jewelry. It looks just as nice and it's real inexpensive. And suddenly, if it does look just as nice, you've almost portrayed yourself as somebody who's walking around with a lot of bling. And yeah, you've created a good point, Ann. This is a great list. Answering your hotel door is another thing that is on the list of things for women to be careful of when they're traveling.
Housekeeping here. Knock, knock, knock.
Especially if you're not expecting anything. Obviously, if you've just ordered room service, you know, you're expecting it.
Sure.
You're going to want to open the door. Otherwise, you won't get your dinner. But in that case, just look through the people, make sure it, you know, somebody coming in with a tray of food. But in most other cases, really just call the front desk and ask if they've sent anybody up. And that's the best way to, you know, to make sure. And if you don't know, obviously, you do not answer the door under any circumstances.
You mentioned not accepting food and drink from people that you do not know.
Right. And this is one of those that, you know, it's unfortunate because, you know, there are very friendly people out there. I think the example in the story is being on a train. A couple sits down next to you. They say, hey, you know, we're kind of in this little compartment together. Want to have some wine with us or something like that. And it seems like it would be like a lovely, you know, cultural experience to tell your friends when you get home and everything. But you never know. I mean, they could be scam artists. They could have some kind of drug in there, and then you fall asleep, and then they get off at the next stop with all your belongings. So just be smart.
Sounds like the scenario out of an Alfred Hitchcock movie.
Well, and the thing is, it does sound, and some of these things are kind of are a little bit of a long shot, but they are things that happen to people on a regular basis. And folks who don't, who put their guard down, Tom, or who make themselves, I always tell people, you know, one reason you put your wallet in your front pocket and you put your purse crosswise across your body when you're in a major city or something like that is you just don't you don't want to be the easiest target. It's like being the house on the block when the guy decides to break into one of the houses and he hasn't cased the place ahead of time. He just decides he goes for the one that looks the easiest. So you don't want to be the person who looks the easiest. And a lot of the things on this list seem kind of common sense, but I'm going to suggest to you that a lot of people don't think about these things when they get out and they're traveling. They get into a foreign environment, and sure, that's exactly what the bad guys are looking for, is that you let your guard down a little bit, and then that's where they can move in. And one last item on here, it says, the last item on the list here is letting fear hold you back. So here we've laid all these things on people, all these awful things.
Scared you to death, and you're never traveling.
It's such a fine balance, isn't it? We never want to tell people never, don't travel, be scared, because that's just crazy. And you have to be part of the world, but always just be smart, be vigilant, make good choices, and enjoy your travels. Go see the world.
Excellent. This is really an excellent list, Ann, and I'm going to remind our listeners again that it's posted at travelguysradio.com. Ann is with Smarter Travel, right? Ed, I always get this wrong, yeah. Ed has to correct me usually three times in the course of each interview. So our good friend Ed Perkins is also with Smarter Travel, and I highly recommend that website. And thank you so much for taking time out to discuss this article with us today. I think it's really valuable information for women who travel.
Wonderful. Anytime.
Thank you.
And as always, along with our friends at Smarter Travel, we are the Travel Guys here to make you a smarter traveler right here on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK. Tom Romano with Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations. You are listening to the Travel Guys on KFBK. And we love to travel north. Mark, in fact, as if you've been listening over the last few weeks, indicated that he was going to take a trip up to Oregon and has found, as usual, some unique and interesting places to stay. Mark, tell me about your last visit to Oregon. What'd you find?
Well, I headed out to the coast. Newport is a city that's been a favorite of mine for many years. And as you know, you find a favorite and then you explore that city and then you start saying, gee, what's nearby? What could I add to my adventure? So yes. I usually have a bunch of people in tow, as I did last weekend, and we stayed in Newport. We ventured up and down the coast, and one of the great place destinations very near Newport that has wonderful accommodations, a variety of sightseeing opportunities, and really things for people to do of all ages, Tom, is a place called Lincoln City. And I know that sounds like someplace that should be in the Midwest, but that's a whole nother story, but which you can learn if you go to Lincoln City. But it is a great place on the Oregon coast. It's right in the center of the Oregon coast, easily accessible, couple-hour drive from Portland. And joining us on the phone today to tell us a little bit about Lincoln City is Sandy Pfaff. Sandy is the executive director of the Visitors Bureau there in Lincoln. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, how are you?
Terrific. Sandy, Tom was our host last weekend when we were in Lincoln City for the day, showed us the area, took us to a wonderful culinary demonstration. We got to eat what was prepared. We watched glass blowing. Some of our folks participated while we were there. Folks were streaming in to do their own glass blowing.
And Sandy, I look at you as one of Mark's new friends. He does this. He goes places and he brings back new friends to the radio program. So welcome to the show. And I'm glad that you were able to hook up with my buddy Mark.
Thank you. And I've hooked up with him a couple of times and always had a great time with him.
It's kind of like bringing a new puppy dog home every time I come back from a trip, Sandy. Sandy, tell us, you have really developed, a wonderful program on the coast for groups that come up there, but a lot of these things are available for visitors. For example, we went and our group watched a glass blowing demonstration. Tell folks, why would glass blowing be big in Lincoln City?
Well, in 1999, as a celebration of the millennium, we decided to bring back part of Lincoln City's heritage, which is that for many, many, many years, Japanese glass floats, fishing floats, came up on the beaches here, particularly after storms. And although they do still once in a rare while, because it takes sometimes as much as 30 years to get here. They stopped making them out of glass a number of years back, and so people weren't able to have that fun experience of finding the glass float. So what we did was we created a program called Finders Keepers. It was actually named by your friend Jennifer Sears, and we commissioned about a dozen Pacific Northwest artists to make hand-blown glass floats. They're usually about 6 inches in diameter. And we make as many of those every year as the number of the year. So this year we'll make 2,013 of them. We put them out every day on the beach between mid-October and Memorial Day, and people can just come and find them and keep them.
Is this not cool, Tom? You can actually, they put souvenirs on the beach for you to go out and look for.
No, that's awesome. That's awesome. I'm looking at your website. You have so much stuff. This is a fun website. It's OregonCoast.org, and we'll link this to TravelGuysRadio.com.
So, Sandy, how many of these floats do you put out over the course of a year?
Well, this year will be 2013, and a few extras we put out in September, probably another couple hundred, just as a warm-up. And in addition to that, a couple of years ago, we added glass sand dollars and glass crabs to the mix, so
awesome.
You can actually find all kinds of glass out there. Every once in a while, I'm able to get my hands on some original Japanese glass floats, the small ones. And when I can do that, then we have a special drop, maybe of 200 or 300 of those in a weekend, and it just turns into a feeding frenzy here.
Well, so, speaking of feeding, I see in October you have the Wild Mushroom Cook-Off and the Art-tober.
Yes.
Brewfest.
Yes. So. The Art-tober Brewfest is put on by the Chamber of Commerce, and they just started it last year. It was quite a hit. And the Wild Mushroom Cook-Off we started a couple of years ago in our culinary center. After we got the Finders Keepers program launched, we started wanting to develop some experiences for people so that they could get a hands-on taste of fun things to do in Lincoln City, because you can't spend the entire time on the beach. So the first thing we did was we built that that glass studio in 2005, and then in 2007 we opened a culinary center, and that's where the Wild Mushroom Cook-Off will happen. It's both of those things were designed completely for visitors, so you can walk in off the street to the glass studio, for instance, although it's really busy, so having some kind of reservation in advance is a good idea, because they've done 35,000 pieces of glass with visitors since they opened. So you can walk in and learn how to blow glass, be guided through the process, and walk out with a treasure the next day.
And Tom, we watched this happen. Not only did a couple of my folks get to participate in making their own float, but folks were steadily coming in, and families, individuals, whatever, and listening to them, they were really pumped. I mean, they were excited to have this opportunity to go. And it's very the great thing about the Oregon Coast, Sandy, sorry to interrupt you here.
That's all right.
The great thing about the Oregon Coast, Tom, is it's so affordable. It's the most affordable stretch of coastline on either the Atlantic or the Pacific Ocean, and it's close here. I mean, you could drive to Lincoln City comfortably in a day. I mean, you could make it from Sacramento, or you could fly to Portland, rent a car, and drive down there very easily. So it's incredibly accessible, and the room rates, the food, the souvenirs, everything is ratcheted down a level from what you would normally find in a great resort destination. Sorry, Sandy, I had to throw that commercial
That's
in.
Okay. That's okay. The Culinary Center is similar. It's not quite the same. As Mark said, we host groups there who could come and watch demos and then eat their demo, basically, for lunch. We have a full-time culinary chef, and in addition to the cook-offs and the groups, the other thing that she does is teach classes on the weekends primarily, but some during the week. So for right now, for instance, on Thursday and Friday, she's going to be doing some canning classes for canning tuna and canning some vegetables. And so you come in to those classes, and you actually can do hands-on back in the kitchen. And learn how to can and actually do the process so that you know that you're doing it correctly. So we do the demos and the eating stuff, but we also do classes that are literally hands-on. You get your hands dirty in that food.
I just want to warn our listeners, we're talking about the Wild Mushroom and the Wild Mushroom Cook-Off. Don't try this at home.
We're talking with Sandy Pfaff. Sandy is the executive director of the Lincoln City Convention and Visitors Bureau and or Visitors Group in Lincoln City. And Sandy has just a great destination on the Oregon coast. And it's a wonderful all-weather destination, Sandy, because some of the things that you're talking about are inside things. Because let's face it, once in a while up there on the Oregon coast, the weather can get a little bit interesting.
Yeah, well, it kind of rains sideways sometimes. but we're those of us who are around here are pretty tolerant of it. And so, you know, we do kite festivals in October and June when the weather can get a little bit wild. So there are lots of things to do on the beach. And in fact, in the winter, the storms are just wonderful to watch. And so it's a great place to come sit inside in a nice oceanfront restaurant or an oceanfront motel room and watch the Pacific rage. It's a really interesting and energizing experience.
Sandy, what is your which one's your most popular time of the year?
The fall is, actually, because when you hit September, first of all, the crowds go down a little bit because the kids have gone back to school, but also it tends to be our best weather. So we've had these lovely, crisp, cool evenings right now, and then by 10 o'clock in the morning, you're out in your shirt sleeves, and the sun is bright, and the wind is gone.
Not to mention the occasional spectacular sunset. We caught a couple of them last weekend, and the sunsets on the Oregon coast. You know, Tom, one thing that a lot of folks don't know is that Oregon, 100 years ago, passed a law that made all their beaches open to the public. So you can't, you know, a business can't buy, or you can't prevent the public from going on the beach. And what that's created is this wonderful stretch of coastline that's so accessible. There are all these places up and down the coast where in your car, wherever, however way that you're traveling, you can stop and enjoy the Oregon coast, and it doesn't cost you any money.
That's awesome.
There are lighthouses, and then there are places like Lincoln City where you can go for your respite in your hotels and stuff. Sandy, you mentioned to me something just for a second here, that you have a casino in town there in Lincoln City that's been there for a while, and you mentioned that they have proven to be very good partners in tourism.
They have. The casino is owned by the Confederated Tribes of the Siletz Indians, and it opened probably about 12 or 15 years ago now, as far as I can remember. And when it first was coming into being, the residents of Lincoln City were really nervous about it because they were afraid it was going to bring in all kinds of problems. And the truth is that it has not done that. They have managed it extremely well. They are very supportive of the community. They're good partners with the city. They've given a lot of money to local charitable organizations, and we've just got a wonderful partnership with them, and it's a wonderful addition for some people who enjoy doing that.
That's something that I was really good to hear. It's always nice when, you know, because some people, let's face it, gambling casinos have a certain connotation to them, so I just thought that was worthy of a mention. Sandy, anything else we should tell folks about Lincoln City?
Bring your kites when you come. We're the kite flying capital of the world as far as we're concerned, and we've been named that by kite magazines, and we were recently featured on the Rock Center with Brian Williams.
Awesome.
Cool. So kites and glass are primarily what we're known for, and both those opportunities are available when you come.
Did I mention the sunsets? I think I did.
And
you can find more information on Lincoln City and other Oregon Coast communities. You can go to www.oregoncoast.org, or you can go to travelguysradio.com, and we will have a link there. Sandy, thank you for your time and for such a wonderful description of Lincoln City. I will be back soon, and I suspect some of our listeners will be too.
Great. Thanks, gentlemen. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Sandy. That just about wraps up another edition of the program, and a great way to do it. Can hardly wait to get up to Lincoln City myself. Well, folks, appreciate you coming along. As always, Mark Hoffman with Sports Leisure Vacation. I'm Tom Romano. Remember, check out my radio program at Classic 93.1 every afternoon from 3 to 7 o'clock.
And remember, everything that you heard on the Travel Guys radio show today, including that great list of all the things that women can do to travel safely, can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com.